Ramsey TV.
Yeah, wow. It seems to me, now reading Romans 9 here in verse 18, that I don't think the Word of God or the acts of God are published without opposition. The words of God and the fame of God, the announcement of any evangel, does not happen without opposition that God Himself provides. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to another edition of MZTV. Romans 9 is one of the most amazing chapters in the scripture because here God lays out, through the Apostle Paul, his control over every human being. Speaking of Pharaoh, it is said by God, "For this selfsame thing I rouse you up." Rouse him. To rouse is to wake somebody from sleep, to wake them up, to agitate someone. When somebody wakes you up from a nap, you're initially agitated, right? You're roused. Wake up. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Open your eyes. Get going. Pharaoh was roused. That's the word used here. I rouse you up. God's speaking of Pharaoh. So that I should be displaying in you my power. As I said yesterday, Pharaoh had to be roused into opposition. That's the shock here. That only those who grasp the sovereignty of God can get, even though it's said in plain words. Plain words. How many times I've shown this to people. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And they said, no, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. But the scripture says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Yeah, but they just can't believe it. It's true, they trip over the relative perspective when the reporting on the scene reports Pharaoh hardening his heart. But again, nobody asks why. Here we have the answer why. Now, I want to make something completely clear to you. I have new viewers all the time. Like I said, I have at least 50 new subscribers every month. I think that's an avalanche. I'm very happy about it. So I want to say this, and this is the most shocking thing anyone will ever hear about God. Every single event of life and every single action of every single human being on the earth has been pre-designated, has been set out already. It was already written, the whole thing, everything you will do, every detail. Because think of it, if all of life has been set in concrete before it even started to roll out in real time, then that has to include everything. But how many people have said to me, you mean to tell me that God knows or cares when I take a sip of Jack Daniels? He not only knows and cares, but it was written into the script before the production was even staged, before there was even a stage invented for the production, namely Planet Earth. Everything was set out beforehand. Everything. The whole thing was planned down to every minute detail. Only God can do this, obviously. But we do see hints of it, as I've always reminded you, in playwrights, screenwriters, novelists. They do the same thing. Why do they do that? Because God put it in them to do it. Because it is a microcosm of what God does. The script, any script, whether for television, for film, for the stage, is written ahead of time. And even the actors' lines are written ahead of time. So it's no surprise when the writer, the playwright or the screenwriter, knows what the actor is going to say, exactly what the actor is going to say. How does he know that? That's amazing. Wow. Must be a genius. No, he wrote the freaking script. And this script has been written. And the trick is, I don't think I can say this enough, what confuses people is that we are going through it in real time with a limited perspective. In other words, we don't know what's going to happen next. I call this the bubble of ignorance. And it is one of the greatest gifts that God has given you, the bubble of ignorance, because you don't want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't want to know. Ignorance is bliss when it comes to your life. If God were to tell you the trials he has for you, you wouldn't want to go on. Or the joys, necessarily. I mean, well, yeah, I can see, yeah. You can tell me the joys, that'd be fine. But in a way, he does that by laying out the salvation of all humanity, that we are absolutely justified by faith, and that God is conciliated to us. So, watch what God does. He sets out the joys, and he tells you those ahead of time. Those he designates beforehand, these he calls, whom he calls, these he justifies, whom he justifies, these he glorifies. That's a great news, all great news. And he tells you that. But the trials, he keeps them from you. Even the Apostle Paul, he did not give Paul specifically what he was going to suffer. He just said, which was bad enough, when Saul was called on the road to Damascus, I will be telling you the things that you will suffer for my sake. It was just kind of vague, kind of general. It's like, yeah, okay. You know, God told me that. I'm going to tell you the things you must suffer for my sake. Oh, it sounds noble, sounds great. Let's go for it. Thank God he didn't tell me the details, or I would have cast myself into a lake with an anchor around my... Where would I put the anchor? Around my waist? Yeah, I wouldn't tie the anchor around my ankles. It's not sturdy enough. I wear it like a weight belt, only with, you know, 100 pounds, 200 pounds on it. We don't want to know. It's blessed ignorance. But don't think for a second that anything's up to chance. And free will states that the future is open. The future is open. You don't have to do anything. You're at a crossroads. And because you're at a crossroads, you can go to the left or to the right. Then God must be at a crossroads also. Because I referenced the same affliction that I told you about earlier, that human beings think that God is a lot like them. What freaking arrogance, terrifying arrogance on part of human beings. Well, God must be like me. I'm facing this crossroads. I don't know which way I'm going to go. It's so scary. I don't know what's going to happen. It's suspenseful. Do you think God's in suspense for a second? Do you think God is in suspense also? That would be like saying that the playwright is in suspense. The playwright is sitting there in the audience watching his play. The play that he wrote, the play that he worked on for 6 months and polished for another 6 months. It's like saying that he's sitting there hoping that the protagonist shoots the bank robber who is about to kill the innocent teller. Now, he knows exactly what's going to happen. God is less than that? No. No, he's not. So it is God's intention to display his power, and he does that by creating characters. Good guys and bad guys. It's that simple. Now we're going to see how God does it. And he does it again, that his name should be published in the entire earth. And Paul says this, lest anybody think that Pharaoh's an exception. And I've heard that. Well, yeah, God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but what about me? What about my Uncle Joe? You know, no, yes, it's everybody. This is why. Pharaoh's just an example. Paul can't list every single human being that ever lived here. Oh, and by the way, he also, he also displays his power. And as I said the other day, Billy Bob, Sally Lou, Jimmy John. Can't mention everybody. The Bible would be a much bigger book. That's why Paul says, consequently, then, in verse 18 of Romans 9, just got done talking about Pharaoh. Then he says, consequently, then, to whom, see, that's the sweeping phrase, to whom. Consequently, then, based on what I just told you about this specific case of Pharaoh, consequently, then, to whom he will, he is merciful, yet whom he will, he is hardening. He hardens people to oppose him. And they have no choice but to be in that role. No choice. Talked about that yesterday. Now here's the protest. And this protest is very interesting for what it illustrates. You will be protesting to me then. Why then is he still blaming? For who has withstood his intention. Ooh, there's a very strong word, God's intention. This is what God intends to happen because it was written into the script. And I give credit to the protester. What is really kind of funny and tragic in a way is that people have emailed me and they have asked me at conferences this very question. I can't tell you the number of times people have practically quoted this protest of Romans 9:19 without even realizing that it's in the scripture. And here again is the protest. You will be protesting to me. Paul anticipates this protest because it's a common protest. I mean, it's a rational protest based on the fact that the protester actually believes what is being said here. You will be protesting to me then, why then is he still blaming for who has withstood his intention? In other words, why will God judge Pharaoh? Seeing as how there's nothing Pharaoh could have done to withstand God's intention for his life. This is why I will give the protester credit, because the protester at least is absorbing the information. The protester rightly says, based on what you're telling me, who has ever withstood the intention of God? See, the Christians can't even get to that. They can't even get to that protest. They can't even protest this because they don't accept the premise. They don't accept the premise that no one can withstand God's intention. Are you kidding me? Anybody can withstand God's intention. It's God's will that all men be saved and come to a realization of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4 and 2:6. It's God's will that all humanity come to a realization of the truth. Well, yeah, but you can withstand that. That's what God wants. God wills it. God wills for all humanity to come to a realization of the truth. He would like that to happen, but human beings can withstand anything God wants. Yeah, that's what we're told. So the Christians don't even level this protest against Paul because they don't believe a damn word of what Paul has said in Romans chapter. Not a word of it, not a word of it. But the protester has absorbed it and says, okay, no one's withstanding his intention. Got it. So that brings me a problem. Why is he still blaming people? Why is he still blaming Pharaoh? The Christians can't bring up this protest because their answer to it is they know very well why God is blaming Pharaoh, because Pharaoh is a jerk, because Pharaoh was a stubborn ass, because Pharaoh did not believe in the God of Israel. So it comes back to this whole thing of that God is waiting for people to perform, and if they're stubborn, he blames them and judges them, and if they're wise, he blesses them and coddles them and pets them and loves them and brings them into his happy little kingdom. Why? Because of what the person did. Yeah, well, see, you have no problem with that. Most people have no problem with the fact that God would judge somebody who's bad of their own free will. And he would bless somebody who is good of their own free will. But what we are learning in Romans chapter 9 is that nobody is good and nobody is bad of their own free will. I'll say that again. No one is either good or bad of their own free will. Period. Fact. Now that you've accepted that fact, you can rightly ask the question, then why is he still blaming a person that he made the way they were? And people ask me the same thing, as I said. Why do you criticize people for teaching false doctrine when you know that it's God who's inspiring them to teach the false doctrine? I get the same protests that Paul is getting here. Which is good. It means I'm teaching the right thing. It's actually the right protest if you accept the premise. But they don't even accept the premise. But if someone accepts the premise that, yes, God does make these people teach false things, then I guess, yeah, the question is reasonable. Why do you still blame them? Why do you protest against them? Why do you correct them? Why do you call them out? It's for the benefit of everyone going through this thing in real time. It's for the benefit of everyone who is existing in this blessed bubble of ignorance. It's for the person who is being stubborn and teaching the false things. It is for their benefit. I don't know if my word's going to bring them out of it or not. God knows, because he wrote the script. I don't know. The bubble of ignorance. The bubble of ignorance. But what scripture is trying to do is, while we're going through the bubble of ignorance, scripture, through Paul, through the Holy Spirit, through God, is telling us that everything's set. Don't worry about it. Everything's been laid out ahead of time. And everything that happens has to happen. Remember that passage in Romans 8? To pray in accord with what must be. We don't know how to pray, verse 26, Romans 8, in accord with what must be. We don't know what must be. What must be? The things that happen must be. They must be. And there's no chance in hell or heaven that they won't be. And Paul's answer to this is really good. Even though the question is legitimate as far as human beings think, the protest, I should say, Paul says, "Oh, human, who are you to be sure to, who are answering again to God? Who are you to even say, why is God doing this? I don't understand." That's basically what they're saying. "I don't understand why God's doing this." Listen to who you're talking about. You're talking about God. "If I was God, I wouldn't do this." That's why you're not God. That's why. That's just one reason. There are many other reasons, but that's a good one. That's a good one. Because you wouldn't judge people who you had made stubborn yourself. You wouldn't judge them. Because you don't have the wisdom of God. You don't have the heart of God. God judges Pharaoh in accord with what Pharaoh was acting upon, according to his own heart, in his bubble of ignorance. Pharaoh was in a bubble of ignorance. He didn't know he was being manipulated by God. He didn't know he was being hardened by God. Remember, I had that interview with Pharaoh's wife yesterday. And she was reporting from the scene, and she didn't notice any outside force. She thought it was his frickin' breakfast that disturbed him and made him of an ill countenance that made him change his mind about letting the Israelites go. No, but it was God the whole time, pressing on Pharaoh, making him hard. And because in that bubble of ignorance, Pharaoh was angry, Pharaoh was sinning, God judges him in accord with what he was thinking at the time in his bubble of ignorance. And it is for, this is important, this is the most important point, it is for Pharaoh's ultimate good. Because Pharaoh's going to be adjusted. Well, why not just make Pharaoh good in the first place? Because God needs bad guys on the earth. He needs bad people. He needs them. Why? I started the show with this. So that his name might be published in the entire earth. And it's not published without opposition. That's why. Shocking truth. Shocking truth. But the fact that God makes bad people bad, it's not to be a hindrance for us to correct them, to even be frustrated by them. Exhibit A, Jesus Christ. He knows that God has hardened Israel. He says to his disciples in Matthew 13, "To you it has been given to understand the secrets of the kingdom, yet to those outside it has not been given." Not been given. And he withholds it from people, from he blinds their eyes. God blinds the eyes of Israel. God blinds the eyes of Israel. Down to this very day. And yet in another verse, Jesus says, he mourns and laments over Jerusalem. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kill the prophets and murder those sent them. How long, how I wish, how I long to gather you like a mother hen gathers her brood, but you would not." You would not. He said, "You won't. Why won't you come to me?" This is Jesus Christ himself acting in the relative as a human being, being frustrated, yet knowing all the time that it's of God. Hey, we're human beings and we're frustrated by the situation. This is not These are not mutually exclusive truths. I'm proof of it. I know God made these Christians hard. I know God caused them to teach false teachings. I know it. I know it for a fact. But I'm also human, and I react to the facts, and the facts suck from my perspective. So I fight them in the suck realm, but above that all, I know that I'm at peace at a certain level. I'm at peace because I know that it's meant to be. So I have the best of both worlds. I can get rid of my frustration, which is rightly given to me, because I'm a human being. Jesus Christ himself was frustrated. Why won't you come to me? I can indulge that, which feels good, but at the same time knowing that if they don't come, if they don't get it, then they're not meant to get it, and then I can rest in that. So I get the enjoyment of the battle, of the struggle, of the fight, which people need. People need to fight against something. You need to fight. The stupid thing with the coronavirus, stay home, stay safe, stay home, stay safe. We're not meant to stay freaking safe. We're not meant to stay safe. We're not meant to stay home. Who thinks staying home is safe anyway? You stay home, you sit in your stupid chair, you die of heart disease. You never have any opposition. You never take a chance. You never take a risk. You never climb a mountain. You never walk a mile around your freaking house. You don't do anything. There might be a dog out there. It might bite me. I better not drive my car. There might be somebody who runs a red light. Yeah, it very could well be. Somebody runs a red light or a stoplight and you die. So you're going to stay home? You'll die anyway. You'll die of heart disease. You'll die of worry. You'll die of inertia. Stupid. So we're rightly to battle. And God himself, while demonstrating his righteousness, he judges these people. He judges them. And Paul says, who are you to answer again to who? To God. And I told you, God is a unique being, if I can say that, in all the universe, because he did everything. He wrote the freaking script before the play was staged, before there even was a stage. So he has to judge people that he made hard, or he can't judge anybody at all. And Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 3. That God couldn't judge anybody if he was unable to act in a relative manner based on the absolute truth that he authored the whole play. I'm looking for that verse right now, but I can't find it. That's okay. God couldn't judge anybody. And again, once you realize that judgment is good, once you realize that judgment is going to adjust the hearts of people who don't understand their motives, didn't understand their motives, people who are going to have the light come on for them, Pharaoh's going to have the light come on. It's going to feel so good to that man to finally have the light come on and to see God for who he is. And he is literally, I'm going to wink at you when this happens. You're going to look at me. I'm going to look at you at the great white throne. I'm going to wink. You're going to say, you were right, Sender. You were right, Sender. Pharaoh is going to be honored to find out that he had a major part in God's operation. He will be. He'll bow down at the feet of God. J.R. Ewing was a bad guy in Dallas, and yet he became famous. Famous for being a bad guy. Larry Hagman played a bad guy in the series Dallas. And yet he's famous for that. There are people who play the heavies. Vincent Price, Margaret Hamilton, the Wicked Witch of the West. Famous because of the role of the Wicked Witch of the West. So, the Wicked Witch of the East died too soon. Got the house, fell on her, and she missed. She could have been big. She could have been big. But she had a house fall on her. It was Dorothy's fault. But Pharaoh will say, wow, did I ever have a role? Yeah, and everybody's going to say, Pharaoh, I mean, somebody, yeah, you had a hell of a role, man. Without you, there wouldn't have been the Ten Commandments movie. Without you, there wouldn't have been this great Exodus. And Pharaoh will say, well, at least I had a part. Yeah, man, you had a part. Good job. On the other hand, you know, it was a bad part. And so because I'm a just God, you're not going to be doomed for eternity. Oh, come on. Are you kidding me? No, you're saved. But in order for, you know, a righteous judgment to be made, you're just not destined to live on the new earth with your wife. It's okay. And then boom, to sleep, boom, wake up, conciliate it to God. Everything is beautiful in its own way, in its own time. And God promises that.